to Coog with McCarthy in support on the inside. He takes the reverse pass and dashes 20 yards to touchdown between the posts.
Slight one-handed pass back for Fenix. Back for Coleman. On it goes for the one forward. Michael Andrews is in under the post.
Welcome to another edition of Rabbitohs Radio. My name is Grant Chappell. I'm joined by my loyal co-host and friend, Darren Brownie. Brown, what's doing, Brownie?
Not too much, chaps. And g'day to all the listeners out there. Happy Easter. It is the long weekend, and I'm sure there would have been plenty of Easter eggs at your place, chaps.
Oh, yeah, the kids are into them all weekend. We had to work. Brownie was working, obviously, Friday. I was lucky enough to go out to the game, and glad I did. It was a great crowd. Plenty of noise out there. All the kids had a great time. Post-game show was good with young Tyrone Munro and another young star in Hazen Mellors. Good-looking young kid. I asked him if they were on the market because all the girls were all over him like a rash. And one of our long-time listeners, all the way from Port Macquarie, Beck Egan, won the match day ball.
Oh,
the raffle.
Congratulations, yeah. Beck. She'll be listening to this show today.
Yep, all the kids were down and they were having a good time and they had to turn around and drive all the way back. But they went home with a win, and that's the most important thing. And Easter is coming to an end. It's Monday afternoon. We're down in the studios and we're going to get straight into this game, Brownie. We've had a good win there, 20 points to 16 over the Dogs on Good Friday, the traditional clash. We've been pretty successful the past couple of years in that regard. Look, it was a bit of a conservative start. We just had to hold as much pill as we could. There was a captain challenge early from Tane. I wasn't sure whether that was the right thing to let a winger take a captain challenge. But, you proved me wrong there, Tane, and you got that one up.
Yeah, like you said, chaps, it was a conservative start and very fortunate for Tane to win the captain's challenge because we wanted to get into a rhythm. We wanted to get into that arm wrestle, which we did, and we were fortunate enough to come up with points early on in the game and a very much needed win on Good Friday.
It certainly was, mate. Now, Trell got hit kicking the ball late from the hooker, Reed Marnie. You can't hit him in the air. You must wrap your arms around, which you didn't. We got fortunate enough to get a penalty, put us on the attack, and I think it was only tackle three. We took it to the line and he had a bit of shape out the back with Cody steaming onto it, but he just forced it into Tommy's hands after he pointed at the gap. And Tommy went over and, look, we went up. That was right in the corner I was sitting at. The girls were going berserk.
Yeah, first opportunity we had. First bit of field position we got in the game. We come up with points and on the back of some great lead-up work as well from the two players that were involved in the try themselves. Tom Burgess had the first carry off that penalty. Next came Cam Murray, third tackle Keon, effort on effort from both Tom and Cam who were involved in the try, and Cam just does it week in, week out, has a hit up in the previous tackle, gets up and gets involved in the next tackle. It's what, you know, winning's all about, and yeah, it was great to see Tom off to a flyer in this particular game.
Yeah, it never got on to the second half against the Roosters, so there's a bit of a change up there. He wanted to go, when I interviewed him the other day, he wanted to go big body on big body, so Junior and him started. I thought they both set a nice tone. The first set or two, our line speed was a little slow, as Blocker pointed out on Fox Sports. I watched both replays, the 9 and the Fox replay. Blocker was pretty harsh on us in that game, I've got to say, but I think he was right in some regards there.
Oh, I thought it was a good move from JD to start, Tom. I thought we needed that big body out there from the start. But, yeah, I tend to agree with Blocker in certain stages. I thought our defence was good in patches, but we were loose on other occasions as well.
Yeah, it certainly was. We started to control the ruck from that period on, getting down on our hands and knees and playing the ball. Cookie was coming through the ruck. We had a bit of ruck speed, which we haven't seen a lot of ruck speed in rounds 2 and 3. I think in the first round, if you go back and look at it, we had a bit of ruck speed, but nothing in rounds 2 and 3. But this time we were able to just get on top for 15, 20 minutes, and it resulted in another try. 10 points to nil. Jackie Whiten's first try in South Sydney colours.
Yeah, well, that ruck speed probably come off of the high completion rate didn't it, chaps? We weren't making errors and we were getting to our kicks. And yeah, look, it was a nice try from Whiten. And when you get into them positions, you want to get the ball to your strike players, Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker, Cam Murray, and this particular man, Jack Whiten, who scores his first try in the red and green colours. And yeah, what a try it was.
It all started with Latrell Mitchell offload, three or four blokes in the tackle, offloads to AJ. He scoots around the right hand side, little show and go, gets himself into the backfield, show and go again. I thought he could have passed it to the right hand side, but Fox was looming up for an intercept and he turned it back to, flew it back on the inside to Junior. He turned Cookie underneath, he turned Tane underneath. Pretty exciting, enterprising football. And then it wasn't too long, couple of settlers, and then it was out. Just a little early ball out to Jackie Whiten, and he was good enough to go over and score.
Had a little bit to do as well, had to slice through the defenders. But when you get the ball to them quality players, they know where to run. They know how to get between two defenders. And that was on the back of a couple of sets completion, chaps, after points. And we've spoke about it many, many times before on this show. It's very important that you complete sets after points, and that's something that we did the other day. Once again, a 97% completion rate, probably our highest completion rate for many, many years, I'd say.
I'd say the highest. It's the highest since we've been doing the show, Brownie, in 5 years. It's the highest in the NRL this season by any team. So you can look, some might criticise and say it was only against the Dogs. It doesn't matter who it was against. If you can hold the pill and build pressure like that, it's going to give you a big opportunity to win football games. And you talk about effort. Think about what AJ did, right? Backing up Latrell on that offload. Who do you think was standing outside him ready for the pass two plays later? He got himself right back into position on the opposite side of the field. You don't see AJ on the right side make a break. I can't remember too many that come to mind. He was over that side, carving up over there. Probably doesn't like passing it to the right, does he? So he come back on the inside, worked his way back outside, and almost could have got a ball from Jack Whiten. But Jackie thought, no, I'll hold on to it, get out and get me first try in South Sydney colours. And the boys just mobbed him over there for a 10-blot lead. Latrell hit the post, unlucky on that one with the goal kicking. But another thing that stood out against the Roosters last week was any loose balls. Chooks seemed to be on it first. This week, first loose ball I've seen in the game, it was Junior Totola working back and went down head first and come up with the ball. A few plays later, and they're the sort of plays that win football games. I think Latrell did it twice. One, he knocked it on, but I don't care. He got himself to the ball first, head down. Another one was late in the second half. He made sure he got on it and scooped it up. But then it was the Dogs that sort of started to get a bit of football, Brownie, get a bit of field position, back-to-back sets, and it was unbelievable try. Actually, no, well, sorry. I'll back the track up there. The first try was to Burton on that left-hand side. They didn't have the numbers, Brownie. It was created by that massive Billy Kickow, mate.
Yeah, I wasn't, like I said, chaps, and you mentioned it earlier in the show, I wasn't at the game, but I was watching the game on my phone at work, and from what I could see, we had numbers there. We had the right amount of players. It was 5-on-5, and it was just Kickow who got on the outside of Isaiah Tass. Maybe Tassie didn't show enough respect to the big back rower who was playing in the centre position, and threw a nice ball to Josh Adokar, who just got on the outside of Tane, scooted down that left-hand edge and found Burton backing up on the inside.
He certainly did, mate. And then, the possession swung heavily. They just kept coming and coming in waves, and the boys kept turning them around. We hadn't been able to turn too many teams around, Brownie, and it was that try that I just spoke about earlier. Was the next one. They jammed in on Blakey Taff after a couple of sets in a row on our line, and I don't know how he did it. He stepped Jack Whiten, who came up to jam him, and all in one motion, kicked this ball straight over Alex Johnson's head, inch perfect, to former Rabbit O'Connor Tracy, and he was able to get it down. It was a tough try.
Yeah, it's not too much we could have done about that. It was just
that's
great.
Just skillful.
Great work by young Taffy, who stepped inside. I think it might have been Cody who rushed up on the outside of him, forced him back inside, and he put a nice little kick over, like you said, and Connor Tracy caught. Done extremely well to get the ball down. AJ did well to try and hold him up. But, it was a great try to the Bulldogs after some great lead-up work, chaps, like you said, from our defensive structures. We turned them away on probably four or five occasions. There was a 10-minute period there where they had the ball, they were peppering our line, and our goal line defence held solid. So that's a positive that we can take out of this particular game.
Yep, no doubt about it. There was a couple of try savers and goal line D lead into halftime. We could have conceded another one. One in particular, Dean Hawkins, holding up big Willie Kickow from only a couple of metres out. A little man on a big man. He had a bit of help there, but he was the one all over the ball. William Kickow has been able to get the ball down on many occasions in that position. 12-10, Dogs led. Went into halftime thinking, geez, I don't think we had enough points on the board in that first 20 minutes where we were quite dominant. And the Dogs were able to capitalise on their
opportunities. It just shows where our attack's at. 97% completion rate. Don't know what it was at halftime. It would have been very high. But if we were completing 97%, say 18 months ago, we would have did a job on the Bulldogs. We've just got to keep working hard at it.
We came out after halftime with a bit of intensity there. I think Damien Cook had a big breakdown that right edge and was tackled again by Blake Taff. I thought he had a great game. He's one of their better players on the night, Taffy. Then we were able to, a couple of sets later, able to do a shift when there was absolutely nothing on. And it was just an early ball out to Alex Johnson. He's gone right around the outside and put Jack Whiten away under the sticks. And it was really, what a beautiful try that was.
Yeah, well, Jack has had the opportunity now to experience that lethal left, and that's what it was. Duncan dug right into the line. It was usually Cam Murray playing that particular role, but Talis Duncan did that role on this occasion, and Cody, a nice ball to Jack. Jack, a perfectly timed ball to AJ, who showed a bit of toe. He hasn't had that opportunity this year to scoot down the sideline and really stride out. Whether he did his hamstring that particular time, I don't know. And great work from Jack to stay alive. That's what good players do, chaps. They follow the ball, just hoping that there's going to be an opportunity, and that's what it was, because AJ burnt his opposition and found Jack, who raced away to score an early double.
Yep, that made it 16-12. And no, he didn't do his hamstring. Then he did it on a turn and chase on a grubber in behind him late in the second half, about 12 minutes ago, if you want to go back and look at the tape. Played on about 5 or 6 minutes with that dodgy hamstring, and it looks to be, 4 to 6 week injury. That's going to be a talking point after we get through the fixture as who comes in to replace him, some of the options. Yeah, and off the kickoff, Shaq Mitchell, it was a big inclusion this week. I really like the inclusion of Shaq. Brought some aggression. Yeah, he gave away a few penalties, which is what we want. He's got a few little areas to work on, but he came off the back fence, no sidestepping, straight into Preston, picked him out, ended up fracturing his jaw trying to tackle Shaq. And I thought that was, I can't believe that bloke came on. His head was moved 3 or 4 times. He looked to be in serious trouble, and his Bulldogs doctors have deemed it a grade 2. Shaq went off and never came back on. You know what I mean? And it was off Shaq's shoulder. So, yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. That was a really strange one. I think the NRL will look at that going forward. That was, can't believe that Preston came back on. But that's the way it goes.
Well, there's always a lot of controversy in this particular game on Good Friday. And like you said, Shaq's got that little bit of a turn in him as he approaches the defence and just caught that Preston awkwardly. I thought he was knocked out. Yeah, he laid motionless on the ground for a couple of minutes. Medics came out and did a great job to get him up and forced him off the field. And, he returned, which was a little bit strange.
Yep, and then there was another incident where Cam Murray was tipped up on his head by Morin. I don't think there was any intent in it, but 10 in the bin was the minimum. I've seen people sent off for pretty similar incidents, but I think 10 in the bin was probably fair. But one thing I think he impressed me that Morin.
Yeah, he's got great leg speed.
He does everything 100 miles an hour. He'd be someone I'd love to see.
He's only small in stature. Yeah, like you said, chaps, he's
middle
very
forward
aggressive.
Too. Yeah. Plays right in the middle, a bit like Talis Duncan and Cam. I like him.
No, he's a good player.
You can't have enough players like that to do things 100 miles an hour. That's for sure. And then we're able to win a penalty for offside, even though we probably could have got done for a Shepherd, but you got to play the first infringement brownie. That made it 18 points to 12. And then there was a short drop out a bit later on that brought the gap out to about 20 to 12 brownie. We sort of just hung on and hung on. We died off a little bit at the end. I think the Dogs, in the final minute, chucked it around like a hot potato and got just a real sneaky try there where I was just saying to my cousin out there, Big Scotty, saying, geez, we've done well on Crichton today. And then, bang, he does this quick tap and throws it down the sideline with a minute to go. But, look, it was never in doubt. Once it went to 20-12, we give him a chance. But that's rugby league these days. You can sort of almost win from anywhere. I think they scored with Udetsu in the final minute of the game.
Yeah, it was only a couple of seconds to go, 30 seconds to go. when they did score. But once again, chaps, there was a 10-minute period like the first half in the second half where our goal line defence was outstanding. Back-to-back sets and we turned them away. I can remember Latrell Mitchell, they forced 3 to 4 dropouts in a row and our goal line defence was strong. We were all working together. Look, people are saying, yeah, it was only the Bulldogs' attack, but the Bulldogs scored 30-something points the week before. So they've got some great attacking players, the Bulldogs. We've got to give credit to our defence where it's due. There was a lot of energy in our defence, and it was good to watch because we really needed it.
Yeah, for sure, mate. Look, the goal line D, 48 play the balls inside our 20-metre, was brought up there by JD in the press conference. The completion rate, 97%. Just got through a mountain of work with the ball. Yeah, it probably could have been a bit more expansive, but you've got to start somewhere. You just want to see your team improve week to week, and we didn't see that from rounds 1 to 3. We sort of got progressively worse. So from rounds 3 to 4, big improvement, completion, big improvement, goal line D. You only got to beat what's in front of you. We weren't playing the Melbourne Storm or Penrith, but you had to beat the opposition that was there, and they came to play. They came with plenty of energy. Got a lot of new guys in that team, so they're still understanding each other, how each other plays. Burton's a different style 5'8", incredible kicker of the ball. Some of those bombs he does in real life. I don't know if I've seen too many players kick it like that. He had that fantastic 40-20 in the first half, caught us napping early in the tackle count. So don't throw the dogs down the drain just yet. They're going to beat plenty of teams this year, Brownie, if they turn up like that every week.
Oh, they've been turning up like that, chaps, against Cronulla. They were very competitive. It was only the last 15 minutes where Cronulla ran away with it.
They got robbed a try. Kickow's try should have been a try in the first half. Could have been a different game in that one.
Yeah, you know? That's right. Like I said, they went into the game with a lot of confidence, and so they should have because they've been playing well. Anything less than a 97% completion rate, chaps, we probably don't win the game. So even though we didn't do a lot with the ball, we're still completing high, and that went a long way towards us winning the game.
It certainly did. I want to give a big rap to the 100-game hero there, Jacob Hosen, his 100th game of first grade. I thought he'd come up with some outstanding defensive plays late in the game. Couple of tackles that had to be made, big hits, a few turnovers. He had some big carries when needed. Look, I was very impressed with Jacob Hosen, mate.
Yeah, hopefully Hosty's getting back to his best form because we really need that great edge back rower playing well. Like you said, came up with some great tackles. His carries were strong. And hopefully he gets better week in, week out.
Keon Kalamatungi looks like they was given a simple roll out there, run hard and tackle hard. And that's exactly what he did. You don't get 72 post-contact metres the most in the match if you're not running hard and dragging people along with him. He's an awkward bloke to pull down. He came up with some big plays. And if you notice, the first couple of tries we scored, they were off to Keon play the balls. He got legs tackles. He got on his hands and knees. Got things rolling through the ruck. Guys like Cam Murray appreciate that. Being in first receiver gives them that little fraction, a little bit more time to scan the defense and scan who was on the left-hand side of him to make decisions like the Tom Burgess pass. That comes off Keon's play the ball. We gave him the Ramos Brick by Brick Award for the week. You might have seen that come up in our socials. Dean Hawkins, look, kicking game wasn't a 9 out of 10 or anything, but I think he got a few right and he'd like a few back. There was a crossfield kick into the end goal. I think he's only going to get better again. He's only in that second game in. I started to see him buck some orders and get his troops around about the 60-minute mark when we had that lead. And we want to see that a little bit more from Dino. I think he's got a lot more to give. I want to see him take the line on a little bit because if he gets in the backfield, he's got a nice little passing game on him. Brownie, how'd you see Dino's game?
Yeah, once again, chaps, I think he just went out there to not overplay his hand. We had plenty of ball, but we didn't do a lot with it. But I'm sure the game plan would have been just get to our kicks, defend our line, and that's exactly what we did. And Dino, like you said, chaps, he's going to get better week in, week out. A little bit more confidence coming up against the Warriors this week. Once again, if we can complete high, let's start to play a little bit more football. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll start to get a couple of players back in terms of injuries with Ty Ty Munro, who's got a little bit of speed down our edges. Keon will start to use the ball a little bit more. I'm sure Dean Hawkins is a confidence player, and over the next couple of weeks he'll do that.
He certainly is. And the other bloke at the back, he commands a lot of attention at media conferences, which JD pointed out the other day. He said, I don't think I've ever done a press conference, but you don't ask me something about Latrell. So, look, I thought Latrell responded. He got told to go to the centres by fans and all media outlets, but I think fullback's where we need him at the moment. He started to do some things that you want to see. Hit-ups on tackle five early in the first half, he done it. He was on a few loose balls, one-handed pickups when they tried to grub it into the backfield. That offload for the first try. We're starting to see Latrell come into his own, and if he can just get that little bit more fitness week in, week out. I think the final 20 minutes he's starting to huff and puff, but if you can get him 80-minute fit, there's not too many blokes in the game that can do what he does. He's top 10 in the rugby league in tackle breaks, Brownie. He's hard to bring down. He can blow people away with his power or his guile and his skill, or he can beat you with the ball in hand, play through the line, before the line. He's also second in rugby league this year, line break assists, second only to, can't remember who was on the top of the list, but he's equal second there. So not a bad effort for a bloke. They're all trying to move around the different positions. Jack Whiten took another step his second week, starting to look more comfortable there. We know what he brings. He does everything 100 mile an hour, done a lot of hit-ups, come up with some nice statistics into the game, run meters, but scored a couple of meat pies. He got a little bit of a cherry on the top this week.
Yeah, I thought he tried hard the week before, Jack, in his debut game against the Roosters. He improved again on the weekend. Heavily involved, scored two tries. And like I said, when we get in great field position, you just got to get the ball in Jack Whiten's hands. All our strike players, Latrell, Cody, and he showed what he can do by scoring two tries on the weekend.
Yeah, he certainly did, mate. And I wanted to give a wrap a couple of guys there. Cam Murray, what he does in this team every week, Brownie, and I think I spoke about it last week. We don't want him doing a million tackles every week because we want to see a little bit more with the ball. We got that this week. 96 run meters this week. He got a chance to carry the ball 16 times in the middle of the field, which is what we want. He's still ended up doing 46 tackles, and only one miss. In 61 minutes, he's done all those tackles.
Yeah.
We brought his minutes down. I like that, 61 minutes, because the guy that's the one to talk about next is the reason we can do that. Now, he came in with a pretty ordinary knee, Cam. He wasn't walking too well during the week. A little something he's going to have to manage. Well, now, he didn't notice it in the game, but...
He didn't do the captain's run, so there was a chance that he mightn't have played. Normally, when they don't do the captain's run, they're ruled out.
Well, but he's the first player in going on the captain's run in 5 years I've never seen do it and play. Put it that way.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of courage this bloke shows. And
it just shows you how important he is to the team as well.
I would hate to have seen us without him because he just does. That blows me away. 46 tackles in 60 minutes. It's incredible. And then we got the most minutes you'll see from Talas Duncan in a long time. 31 minutes. I'd like to see more from Talas Duncan. He's starting to play front row. The small front rower, he can poke his nose through. I spoke to a couple of blokes in the coaching staff. They really simplified his role. All they said, we want you to run hard and tackle hard. Don't think too much. And that's what you're seeing from him. He comes up with these incredible tackles. Like I think he forced a couple of turnovers with his monster tackles. In particular, Blake Taff's one where Dino kicked it down his throat and he bowled around the middle of the field. Him and Hostie hammered Taffy, turned the ball over. And it was a big moment in the game. There was another one.
I think there was another one down
on our own line,
yeah, where he came up with a big tackle. Can't remember who it was. He forced the ball loose. It was in that 10-minute period where we were under the pump and the Bulldogs were going back-to-back sets. But Talas Duncan, the same. I agree with you, chaps. I think he's got to play more minutes. He's very exciting. Every time he gets a ball, he pokes his nose through. Something's always going to happen when Talas Duncan's got the ball. He's got a lot of speed. He's a great defender. Can play a link man like Cam Murray. And like you said, Cam was off for a long period in that game, which he doesn't normally do because we had Talas Duncan there.
And he was going so well. They could give Cam a bit of a spell there, which they probably don't like to do too much because he's so important. But I don't think we lost too much with Cam off the field, put it that way. And you wouldn't say that about many players in the whole game. Look, Shaq got the same amount of minutes, 31 minutes. Shaq came up with some big, big moments too, some big tackles, some big carries. Cam... He got a tip on from Cam at one stage in the first half, and a bloke did a legs tackle and fell off him. Had he not, he was into the backfield and, you know, set someone up. So, yeah, there were some really good performances there that I was really happy with. But, yeah, Talas Duncan, the last 2 weeks they've been playing him front row. Cam plays lock, he plays right front row, and they have Thomas out there for a little bit. Then they take took Thomas off and brought Junior on, and he still was in the front row on the right side. So he's a special talent, Brown.
We spoke about AJ just before, his hamstring injury. Looks like he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, it's been reported. Who replaces him on the wing?
I don't know what was the problem with Richie Cannell last week. He didn't play New South Wales Cup. Obviously, I got out there early enough to watch that. We'll touch on the pathways shortly. So your natural replacement is Richie Cannell, left side winger. Gagai, right side winger. Thompson, right side centre winger. To be honest, a lot of people are calling for Gagai to come in. Now, we still haven't got a confirmation on this, but I was told that they had an NRL exemption to get him to play in round one, even though the Dev players' situation has changed a little bit this year from last year. I don't think he was available to play in round two or three, from my understanding. I haven't been to training over the weekend to be able to...
Is that because he's not in the top 30?
But I think it goes on how many players you got unavailable due to injury or suspension in your top 30, which we had a lot in that round one. I think we got a lot more now with AJ out, your Campbell Grahams, your Jai Arrows.
Ty Munro.
So, Ty, I think, is still a Dev player, isn't he? He was in the top 30. But so we're still probably a chance of getting him in. Myself, I'd love to see Jacob Gagai get a run. Do you put him at right centre, Jacob Gagai, and then bring Tassie over and put him on the left wing, where he likes to play on the left as well? He's been a left-side player for a while. Or you probably don't want to move Tassie out of position because you know you're going to have to need him till at least round 16. Round 16 to 20 is Campbell Graham's possible comeback. That's a long time away.
You might think I'm a little bit strange here, but I've said it before, and to all the listeners, they might think I'm a little bit weird as well. I'd play Cam Murray in the centres. Now we just spoke about him. He can fill that role, Talis Duncan. He can play big minutes. He can start the game at 13. Play Cam Murray on the edge. Isaiah Tass to the wing, just for the amount of time that AJ is out. I just believe you've got to have good players out there, chaps, that can handle it. Cam Murray, he's a class above. Okay, he mightn't have the speed of some of these centres he's got, but he's got football awareness. He knows when to rush up. He knows when to hang back. He knows who to take. And he's did the job there before, only as a replacement. I think it was against Parramatta.
He's done it in big semi-finals. Late in the game against, he had to play centre against Manly in that Simbin game where everyone was, Jake Trbojevic got sent off, and I think Cody got sent off for 10. Well, we come back, he scored a try out in the centres there. He started the major semi against Penrith in the centres at ANZ Stadium, if you remember, because we had an injury to Campbell Graham in the captain's run. Remember, he pulled out with a groin injury. They had Corey Allen go to fullback. All sorts of stuff was going on that day. He handled it. No worries.
He'd do the job. And I just believe that you've got to have quality players out there. And by having Cam in the centres, Talis Duncan at 13, you're not losing a great deal.
You could probably carry someone on the bench who you know, like a Cheeks who can play centre and stuff. Cheeks played centre on the weekend for 9 minutes when AJ went off with a hammy. They did a little switcheroo and they put Jackie White in left wing for the last 10 minutes. And Cheeks, yep, he, like you said, and also Coach JD. The reason we want him is versatile. We can put him in position. I don't know what would have happened. He might not have gone on had AJ not done his hammy. Cheeks might not have got a run. You know? So I don't know. But
anyway, listeners, let me know your thoughts.
There's a few people tossed up. A guy who came up as a right centre. He's a great defender. He's in great form in the lower grades. Lachie Ilias, right centre. Right side play. He's stepping him one out. You know what he does defensively. You know he's got ball skills to set up the bloke on the outside of him. There's another option there.
Well, that's it. That is another option.
Put Tassie on the right wing and you're not having to change too many people around. You can.
Well, there's the two options that I'd probably go with. Either Lockie or Cam. We might be mad here on the Rabbitohs Radio podcast. Let's maybe shoot off to a break, chaps, and we'll come back with the pathways.
Brought to you by the Juniors. All right, Brownie. I'm going to go through the pathways. Brought to you by the Juniors. Now, New South Wales Cup, we were robbed. Daylight robbery it was out there, Brownie. 22 points to 20. We're down 14 blot. They kept going out and scoring out in our wings. They were going around the right side. Poor old Lenny Skelton had a tough day. He was He was a left winger. They scored two tries on him. Then they kicked one in behind him to score a third. So they swapped him over to the right wing and put the experienced Braden Burns over there. And then we started to come back a bit then. Lockie, Pete, Jai Gray started coming in their own. We hit the lead. I think it was 20 points to 16 or 20 points to 18 and 72nd minute. They were coming off their line about 20 out and Kepi come up with a big shot. The ball bounced on the ground. He picked it up, passed it to Bailey, Bentley, Harpe, BBH, went over and scored. They celebrated and the referee said, knock on. I said, what do you mean knock on? We didn't have the ball. And then from that scrum piece, basically, they've spread it wide and scored a try down the other side. Went around Lenny again. Poor old Lenny had a tough night. Tough day at the office. They really targeted him wherever he was. And yeah, but it shouldn't have come to that. Should have been a match winner to Bailey Bentley Harpe, the Southeastern Seagull himself, mate. He had a good game. Filled in for a Dion. Dion had the week off.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, unfortunately, like we spoke about earlier in the show, chaps, I wasn't out there. I was watching the updates and I thought, here we go. We're going to get another win here with the New South Wales Cup. Joe O'Callaghan and his boys, he's doing a great job there, Joe. But yeah, unfortunately, they scored in the dying minutes.
Yeah, another one in that one. Sevilla Havili was playing lock. He was playing good in that first 10 minutes, getting his hands on the ball a lot. He come off with look like a lower leg injury. He never came back on again. He was struggling to walk, Brownie. Took him dead set 3 or 4 minutes to walk 20 metres on the sideline. So don't know what the prognosis is there. That's not good for the depth, mate. He's a good footballer.
Yeah, well, teamless Tuesday. It looks like that he won't be available, but we've had no injury updates as yet from the Rabbitohs themselves.
No, couple of good performances there. I thought Matty French, always good off the bench. Bud plays a good role. And also Adam Christensen, the back row centre. He's another versatile guy. Someone who could be like a cheek cam. Can play both roles, centre or back row. A little bit taller, pretty quick. So well done to him. Then the Flag had a game at Redfern Oval and they were down about 24-0 at halftime, but won the second half there 12-6 to be beaten 30 points to 12. Yeah, Tippy's team, after getting off to a nice start, Brownie, come up with a couple of losses, mate, but yeah, against some quality opposition.
Yeah, well, that's right, chaps. It's a hard competition, the Jersey Flag. We spoke about it, that players are coming in and out of the team due to New South Wales Cup commitments and first grade commitments as well. So, but look, the Pathways competition in terms of the Harold Matts and the SG Ball have finished. Now, the SG Ball, there'll be probably a number of players that will make that transition up to the Jersey Flag, you'd think, chaps?
Yep, I'd think that. We might know more by Teamless Tuesday. We'll have a chat to the people in the Pathways system to see who's going to hang around and try and give Coach Tippy a bit of a hand in depth-wise and put some pressure on some of the players that they've got contracted at the moment. But it looked like it was a big day for Matthew Humphreys, the halfback. Young fella scored a couple of tries, scored a hat-trick. And also, try scorers there, Charlie Mann, the big, strong winger. I've always liked the look of Charlie Mann. He's got a bit of Terry Fay about him, Charlie Mann, if anyone can cast their memory back there. And the classy, Brownie really likes this guy, Daniel Wright. He scored a couple of tries as well, Daniel. He might be someone that comes up and helps Coach Tippy in the centres. He's pretty versatile. He can play 5'8", from 5'8" to the centre, to the fullback and everything.
I'm sure there'll be a number of them players that will hang around and be called up to the Jersey Flag system, and he'd be one of them, I'd say. Like you said, the halfback chaps, he's a very classy player, and there's probably a couple others there that we haven't mentioned. But yeah, it was a great win from the SG Ball last game of the season.
Yeah, Jason Harley, I think he had a broken thumb or broken hand, so he'll be, when he's on the mend, he'll come and give him a hand there. You think that Nazareth from Queensland, the front rower, he's not too far from a return. He'll come up and give him a hand as well. Now, the Harold Matthews, they had a very tough trip down there to Seaford Oval in Queanbeyan and come up with a 32 points to 22 win. And it was a great little story there. Charlie, who hasn't been well lately, we all spoke about it at the post-match function. Didn't even have the energy to come up there. Poor old Charlie. But he went home, had a sleep, got up super early, and went down to Seaford Oval to run the water for the Harold Matthews. And South put up a bit of a thing today. That's what rugby league's all about, Brownie. People like that. grassroots blokes. Never gets a cent off South, does it just for the love of the club. So Harold Matt's boys were that appreciative. They've turned out and had a nice win there. The captain, Lockie Moses, scored a double to finish off the season on a positive note.
Yeah, it's hard to go down there too, chaps, and come away with a win. But yeah, a shout out to Charlie. Hope he's in good health. He always gives his all, doesn't he, Charlie? At just about every game. He was even over there in Vegas. Gets in that suit and does a tremendous job. The kids love him, especially around this Easter time. He's had plenty of functions to do.
Oh, I bet he has. Yep. He is absolute. The bloody heart and soul of this club. Now, the Lisa Fiola didn't finish off on a great note. The girls, unfortunately, Central Coast Roosters beat them 44 blot. Tasha Gale, we got touched up there 60-6. Raiders are a pretty strong side. I think we ran out of trips here at the end of the Tasha Gale, but little nice little finish there. Joey Williams, former Rabbitohs halfback, his daughter Phoenix got a chance to run on and on the wing this week. So well done to Phoenix. I know she had some dramas with the ankle leading into the season. She was really excited. I can imagine how quick and skillful she'd be if she's related to Joey Williams.
Yeah, well, she's got some great sporting blood in her genes. Joey was not only a fantastic footballer, he was a fantastic sportsman. He was a great boxer, a champion, a little number seven. Yeah, so congratulations to Phoenix. I'm sure we'll be seeing her a lot over the next couple of years when the Tasha Gale and the Lisa Fiola kick off again next year.
Yep, certainly. And that might be about it. You got anything else for us, Brownie, before
Yeah, just speaking of boxing, chaps, I just want to give a shout-out to Tim Zhu.
Oh, what a fight.
What unbelievable. Just a warrior. He didn't get the win. He lost in a split decision only by a couple of points and had that mad cut head in round three. And I said to my dad, I was watching it at home, I said, he won't be able to see for the rest of the fight. The blood just never stopped coming. The cutman did a great job. Mark Gambin, a shout out to you. Did an amazing job to try and stop the bleeding, but unfortunately couldn't. I'm saying that cost him the fight because he was dead set on top in the first two rounds. You could see he was very classy. He was just going to pick the eyes out of his opponent. But, yeah, a great fight to go the distance with that cut on his head and the amount of blood that was streaming down his face into his eyes.
It was hard to adjust. I think rounds three and four, I think he got beaten those couple of rounds. But there was some rounds he won late. I thought he'd landed cleaner punches, but wasn't busy enough in that last probably 40 or 30 seconds of the round. Hardly threw a punch in some of those rounds, but he was on top, landed the cleaner blows. The other bloke, didn't he get himself in good nick? He just jabbed, threw 700 punches or something like that.
Yeah.
He just kept calming. But he never worried Tim. He never really hurt Tim in any way.
Well, once the fight changed, I'm sure he stepped up a gear and he just kept jabbing that cut. He was looking for the cut all the time, trying to obviously make the wound a little bit deeper so they could call the fight off. Because after round four, there had to be a decision made and he was in front after them couple of rounds, once Tim got his cut head. But look,
I don't know why you can't close that cut up on the run. Like, I know in surfing, if we're overseas in the middle of nowhere, what we do is we just put peroxide in it and it ends up hardening up like resin. You put resin in it, basically, and it hardens up and stops the bleeding.
Yeah.
Now, maybe boxing might have to change their rules on that, especially if it's not on the face.
Well, did you see after the fight?
It stopped
when he got it. Yeah, it just stopped all of a sudden.
What did they do between the end of the fight and that interview?
Maybe it's illegal. It might be an illegal substance that he can't use that peroxide during the fight.
Maybe, yeah.
Because straight after the fight, when he was getting interviewed, there was no blood trickling out at all. And throughout the rounds, they couldn't stop the bleeding. But, yeah, look, tremendous effort.
He's got to get a rematch here, mate. No doubt about that.
I'm sure he would have won more fans by losing that fight than what he did if he would have won it.
Well, the Yanks would have loved that. On the way, he just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. He's got a heavy punch on him. He'll go back to the drawing board. Took this fight on 11 days. Obviously, the other bloke pulled out. So, yeah. Anyway, we had another fight on. Liam Wilson, he was on top early too. Won the first couple of rounds. He ended up getting knocked out.
Did you?
Round six the day before.
Did you see the fight before, Tim Zhu? The Mexican?
Yeah, Cruz. Oh, doesn't he go good?
What, looks like Cam Dimmick.
He does. He's got the big Warwick Farms on him, yep.
Oh, Bob. That was a great fight. It was a great card. Well done to Team Zoo and No Limit. Outstanding effort to go over to Vegas. Obviously, didn't get the win, but I'm sure they're proud of the whole team.
Yeah, one on the Rose Boys. An outstanding promotion yet again for Australian boxing. We'll leave you there. We've got Teamless Tuesday coming up over the next day or two. So we'll leave you with that's about it for another edition of Rabbitohs Radio Podcast. Up the mighty Rabbitohs.
We would like to thank our valued sponsors here at Rabbitohs Radio Podcast. Daryl Lee, The Juniors, NG Farrow Real Estate, Blast Pit, Ramos Bricklaying, Bunnaby Water, Adam Sampson Finance, Oz Snow, and Site Pizza.